Maurice, he's going to share God's word with us. Thank you.
And good morning. Happy Sabbath, everyone. It's always a pleasure and a privilege to be here. I feel really close to this community. As you know, we've spent some time in the past doing some health talks, and so I'm really happy to be here today. And for those who aren't acquainted with who I am, my name is Maurice Hines, as was mentioned. I am one of the elders in this district. My membership's at the Chilliwack Church. And I feel that it's always good to be in God's house. Amen? Where we can spend time with him in worship. Let's make sure I get the right slide. Okay. So I have a message for you today, and I pray that you be blessed as we share together. And I just trust that I'll just slow down a little bit. I have a tendency of going really fast. I do. You know, I lived, we've lived in Chilliwack now for, this would be 11 years, but before that, a couple of places, I lived in Alabama. And in Alabama, you go really quick. At least some people do. And sometimes I'll get into that Alabama twang and I'll lose everyone. So I'll try to slow down and make sure that everything I'm saying makes sense, and I just pray that the Lord's will be done. And so, God is the same forever. Amen? We have nothing to fear for the future lest we forget how he has led in the past and provided for us. And I pray the message comes across today as I share a familiar story, and I just trust that he will be with us. But as we begin, I'll just ask that you bow your heads with me as we pray. Father in heaven, we recognize that, as your word said, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your spirit, and that anything good is accomplished. So we ask now for your spirit to be with us so that we can understand the story. The story of Jericho, the experience that I'm about to share, so that truly we'll all be blessed and encouraged, Father. We'll be encouraged to know that you are the same and that you never change and that you're able to do all things. In Christ's name, amen. So I'm going to read a scripture here. Joshua chapter 6, yeah. So the background of this story is the children of Israel have been traveling now for 40 years. Is that a long time to travel? You know, not 40 days or 40 months, but 40 years. And you get tired after a while. After 40 years, you get a little tired. So here they are at Joshua chapter 6. We're looking at verses 1 through 5. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And seven priests shall bear before the ark, seven trumpets of ram's horns, and the seventh day ye shall compass the city, which means going around it, seven times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Sounds like a pretty straightforward plan. Yes? Pretty straightforward. You have direction. First day, we do this. We do this every day for one time a day. It's a pretty straightforward plan. But yet they were still afraid. Has God given you ever given you a straightforward plan? It's pretty straightforward, pretty simple. And so sometimes we complicate it. So let's see what happens here. So here's the wall of Jericho. Actually, I'm going to give you an actual real footage. Oh, thank you. Of the wall of Jericho. It was a double-walled, thank you so much. It was a double-walled city. Okay? So, when you have a double-walled city that is 25 feet high on the first one, 20 to 25 feet wide, and then another 20-foot wall, you may think, boy, this is a real challenge. Have you ever had any real challenges in your life? And you go, that's impossible. There is no way on earth that we can get through this barrier in our life. So camp 2 miles away. So let's bring the story back. Camp 2 miles away from the Jordan River in a place called Gilgal. They're sitting there and they're looking at this city called Jericho. But the Lord has already promised it to them. Remember, we just read that. The Lord says, I've given you the city. I've given you the kings. But they're looking at the city going, this is unbelievable. There's no way. Because as a double wall city, fortress, even if you make it over the first wall, you still have a bit of a problem. You're now open target for the enemy because you still have to get through the soft earth that they've actually put in between where you get stuck in while you try to climb up to the second wall. It's a well-fortified city. Their goal and destination was just ahead, but to claim it was a challenge. And it's a challenge for each one of us. When we try to take on challenges that God has given us in our own strength. If we try to take on even the simplest challenge in our own strength, it's a challenge. I'm here to remind you today that it's only by God's grace that we can do anything, friends. You know, a lot of times people pull their bootstraps up and grit their teeth and so forth, but that only goes for so long. And after a while, you're like, I'm tired. I just can't do it anymore. But it's only in God's strength that we can do this. There was a wall. I just want to point out, there was a wall. And just not any wall. 25 feet, like I said. And Joshua had a simple plan. God gave Joshua a simple plan that if they follow this plan, they would execute. Remember, he didn't tell them to go and get bigger cannons or bigger battering rams or bigger rocks. He just gave a simple plan. Every day, just march around it once. Just once. On the seventh day, march around it 7 times. Then I want everybody to come together in unison. So I want you to stay with me here because I'm going to bring a couple points out. Everyone needs to come together in unison and to shout together. And when you do that, the double wall will come down. Amen?
Amen.
So we need to trust God every day. On the seventh day, we need to give him what is his. And the point I'm bringing out is the story where they asked Jesus asked, whose inscription is on this coin, and Jesus says, it's Caesar's. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but unto God's what is God's. And when we work together, brothers and sisters, we will get the results that God wants for us. As I examine the text we just looked at, there are a few points that I want to bring to mind specifically. That God is still leading. There's a point I want to bring out here. Because it's easy to doubt. It's easy to doubt when you face a barrier in your life. It's easy to doubt After 40 years of traveling, now you have to go and deal with a wall. You think, is God leading me? Am I just meandering through life on my own? See, keep in mind that God's leading to the wall of Jericho didn't happen by coincidence. God led them there. I don't know if you heard that. Them living through for 40 years through the wilderness and being led to the wall of Jericho didn't happen by chance. See, the message today is for someone who feels confused and maybe saying, you know, questioning the leadership of God. Despite your best efforts, you still feel hindered and hampered. You seem to be going backwards. It seems that way. It seems that way. But God has brought me here today from Chilliwack to let you know that God is still leading. Amen? Just like the children of Israel, the wall you see before you is not what you want, of course, but God is still leading. Reflect on your life for a second and think about how God has led you. Remember, in this story, Exodus 13:21, God went before them by day in a pillar of cloud and to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. So God led them. It was no coincidence how they came to be here. God led them step by step. And God does the same for you today. If you trust Him in every situation, He will be faithful to lead you every day. Amen? Think of the biggest challenges you've ever had. Think of how God provided and delivered you. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is still leading, brothers and sisters. There's no coincidence they came. And so, not only is God still leading, God is still able to do more than we could ask or think. I want you to understand that the children of Israel did not get to this wall. And I really want to emphasize that. Because sometimes as we travel through life or we're traveling on a road and certain situations happen and we think, how did we get here? Why am I off track? It seemed like I'm off track. But if we're trusting God, if we're in every situation, I just want to let you know there's no coincidence with God. He is leading. The Bible tells us that after the children of Israel left Egypt, God led them, and God is still leading us today. Do you believe that? It may not seem like it. There may be challenges in our life, challenges in our church, challenges in the world. But, you know, God doesn't really take naps. You know, He is never caught by surprises. There's no, oh my word, I never knew that was going to happen. You'll never hear God say that. That will never happen. And so, God is fully aware of whatever is happening in our lives. And He knows what's happening. And He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Amen. Is that a blessing? Amen. You know, I can only imagine some of the Israelites saying, you know, before we read this, you know, after 40 years, I can't believe we're doing this again. You know, here we are. And people will doubt because, you know, of just life's difficulties, but let's read this together. On the borders of Canaan, the spies returned from searching the country. So this is 40 years prior. Okay? 40 years prior. On the borders of Canaan, returned from searching the country, made their report. The beauty and the fruitfulness of the land were lost sight of through fear of the difficulties in the way of its occupation. You know, life sometimes throws some curveballs. And we can say it's difficult. But here's the problem. They weren't looking to God, they were looking to themselves. Let's continue. The cities walled up to heaven, the giant warriors, the iron chariots daunted their faith. Leaving God out of the question, the multitude echoed the decision of the unbelieving spies. Some scholars have it said that there's somewhere between 700,000 to 2.5 million people that were traveling. And the views of 10 individuals changed the course of history for them, because they could have conquered this land 40 years prior. That's a whole different study. We should never, ever give up on our dreams, never give up on faith. Always trust God. And this is from page Education 149. There will always be obstacles. Nothing is easy. Jesus says, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So trust God, knowing that we're following him and knowing what his plan is for us. We can never fail. Interesting point I want to bring out here at this point is that this was an evil report. According to Testimonies Volume 4, the report that was brought by the 10, this was not only an evil report, but a lying one also. So I just want to point out something here. That there will be, in our journey, in our experience in life, there will be individuals who would want to sidetrack us. But again, it teaches us the lesson never to look to man, only to look to God. Amen. God said, I have given unto you the land of Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty man of valor. So basically, he's already delivered it to them. Again, I remind that not only is God still leading, and not only is God still able, but he's still keeping his promises. God is still keeping his promises today, friends. And we can keep that in mind. God is still keeping his promises. The children of Israel did not have any need to doubt. They had evidence. They had the plagues in Egypt. They had the parting of the Red Sea. They had, for 40 years, fresh cereal from heaven. I don't know if you can imagine that. Every morning, you would go up and breakfast would be outside. See, they were in the desert, so they couldn't have an agrarian lifestyle like planting in normal situations. God provided their food for them every day for 40 years. I want you to think back in your life. Has God provided for you every day? Has God brought you through situations where you're thinking this is impossible? But every time you face the next obstacle, you're like, oh, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work. We give up. Our faith, where's our faith? We give up. And then we get through that, we're like, oh, thank you, Lord, I can't believe we made it through that. And the next time you have an obstacle, the first thing you do is like, oh, Lord, I don't know if we're going to ever make it through this one. Do you see where I'm going with that? Our faith keeps to falter, and God is trying to strengthen our faith. And he'll use challenges to do that, to allow us to grow so we can be strong and to stand for him, though the heavens fall. Do you have any doubt in your life? Do you have evidence? Of course we all have evidences. God is powerful and he provides. I just want to share a story with you. It's a very familiar story. It's about a young man by the name of Joseph. You guys know the story well. Most of the times we tell a children's story. We talk about a little fella that had a coat of many colors. You know, and that's kind of the gist of it. But I just want to ask you for a second. Do you think Joseph would have gone to Egypt all by himself? I want you to think of the circumstance, how he got there. Okay, for those who aren't familiar with the story, we know Joseph was the second to last son of Jacob. He was also the favorite because of the relationship he had, Jacob had with his wife. And he made him a coat, and the other brothers weren't too happy about that, and a little bit of, envy, crept in. His own brothers, I want you to keep this in mind, not a stranger, not an enemy, his own brothers sold him into slavery. I want you to reflect on that for a little bit. That those who are closest to us could potentially be our biggest challenge. But don't panic. As Joseph said, and I'll talk about that in a little bit, there's a blessing in disguise here. Joseph would have never gone to Egypt on his own. He was sold, taken to Egypt, became a servant, falsely accused. We know the story. Thrown into jail for 2 years. So after 10 years of being a servant, 2 years of being in jail, someone remembered him. And as the story continues, he became the second in command of all of Egypt. Joseph recognized really quick that God had his hand in all of this. You know, if we look at a couple of verses, which we won't do right now, but just for time's sake, Genesis chapter, we pick up the story in Genesis chapter 37 all the way through Genesis chapter 50. There's only 50 chapters in the book of Genesis, but more than half the book of Genesis or so is taken up with the life of Joseph. And in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, very familiar verse, after all was said and done, Joseph says, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." This is Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. So, what was the purpose, if we want to just summarize Joseph's life? It was to be a blessing to thousands, maybe millions. We don't know how many people were saved because of his life and the decisions he made. And the fact is, he would have never gone to Egypt on his own. But through circumstances not the best at all, he was taken there. He submitted to God's will. He trusted God. And here he's saying that God was in control of all of this. God had his hand in all of this. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good to save millions. And listen to this. Not only were the Egyptians saved from the famine, but his whole family and every other nation around within days or maybe weeks of traveling were saved because of how Joseph trusted God. And so my point is, God is calling each one of us to be like Joseph. We don't know how and where God wants us to be so that we can be a conduit, a channel to bless others in such a mighty way that at the end of it all, we look back and we look at our life and we won't look at the negatives. We won't look at the challenges because we'll all have those. We'll all have challenges we can look back at. But we don't look at the challenges and be bitter. We look at the challenge and says, well, God brought me through all of this so I could save, be a blessing to you so you could be saved. Isn't that amazing? Even if one soul was saved just from all of your troubles, would it be worth it? Would it be worth it? If one soul were to be saved because of all the troubles you had to go through, even 40 years of trouble, would it be worth it? Absolutely. And so, Joseph's story tells us that God is still keeping his promises. He's able to do more than we could ask or think. Not only is he big, he's big enough to protect and take care of us. So often, God gives us a battle plan that makes no sense. You know why? So that he gets the glory. Because if he gave us a battle plan that made sense and we executed it, the first thing we do is, see what I did? I did that. I executed that plan. See, I'm a good leader. I executed that plan. But when God gave them a plan for a double-walled city, 25 feet, that humanly would be impossible, they trusted him. Just march around it. Makes no sense, but just march around it one time a day. Then on the seventh day, march around it seven times. Then blow the trumpet, and everyone together shout, the wall will come down. Huh? I don't understand that plan, God. It doesn't make any sense. All we're doing is shouting. Those concrete walls or cinder block walls are that thick, that tall. But don't try to understand every part of God's plan before we start to execute. Trust him. Does that make sense? Because a lot of times, you know, some of us, we're very analytical. And until we understand every single detail, every part of it, we're like, no, we're not moving forward. I don't understand. The bottom line here doesn't make sense. I just can't. This math doesn't add up. And we never move forward. We just keep looking at the plan and we never move forward. But God is looking for people who are willing to trust him and move forward. Amen?
Amen.
Even when it all doesn't make sense. God wants us to live in a life of worship. You know, we come together like this and we call this worship, and it is. But more than just the formality, God wants our whole life to be a life of worship. He wants us to walk in the Spirit, walk according to the plan. So God gives us light, truth, information. And as we live up to that truth or light or information that we have, he leads us to more truth, light, or information. Does that make sense? So, like, for instance, if you know to do certain things and you're not doing that, and then you're like, Lord, I need more truth. He's like, well, wait a second. You have this much truth or light. You're not walking in that. How can I give you more? With what? I can't give you more because you're not walking in the light that you already have. So God wants us to walk in the Spirit, form of worship. God wants us to obey the plan. God's plan has a greater purpose. You know, again, I think of Joseph's life. I can't think of any off the top of my head without reflecting back on Joseph's life. Joseph would have never in 100 years gone to Egypt and say, you know, Pharaoh, you know, I think I'm the man to save Egypt and the rest of the world. No. But God had a plan, and Joseph just trusted. We need to rely on God, have faith, and God will keep strengthening our faith and testing us to strengthen our faith. This is what Jesus asked to the disciples when they were in the boat traveling across. He says, where is your faith? And a lot of times, Jesus says, when I come back, will I find faith on earth? He wants us to have a faith that's so strong, it'll move mountains. And well, let's keep talking here. Our only safety is in keeping fast hold on Jesus. Never are we to lose sight of him. He says, without me, you can do nothing. We must cultivate an abiding sense of our own efficiencies and helplessness and rely wholly on Jesus. You know, I deal with the public every day. And every day, when I'm about to talk to someone, in my head, you know, I'll whisper a prayer like, Lord, I have no idea what the conversation is going to be about, but just give me wisdom how to deal with it. I never approach any conversation going, yeah, I know everything, I'm the man. Because the moment I do that, I'm done. Dead in the water. You know? Because every person I talk to has a different background, different concerns, different issues, different questions. So you don't know what you're going to be dealing with. And so it's only as we rely on Christ that we can have the questions, I mean the answers to the questions that they're going to ask, and by God's grace have a positive outcome. We want to surrender in silence. Surrendering, just trusting the plan. So here's the plan. Every day you're going to walk around one time. Just one time. That's the plan. You're going to walk around. Sunday through Friday, just going to walk around one time. Just surrender. Do the plan. Then we're going to harmonize. We're going to get everybody to march around together on seven times. And then we're going to shout. Everybody. Not just some of the people will shout. Everyone. And we're going to shout really loud. Because when we shout, you know, you don't whisper. It's pretty loud, intense. And then we're going to praise God. And so what does that look like in our lives? So we're going to walk, we're going to obey, we're going to rely, we're going to surrender, we're going to harmonize, we're going to work together. And God's looking for people, unity, people working together to get this job done. And what's our job? People wonder, what's our job? Our job is, so in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, it says, until this gospel of the kingdom is preached in all the world as a witness, then the end will come. That's when Jesus will come back. So the gospel, spreading the gospel, that's our job. It's going to increase as we work together with intensity, praise, and so this is how we worship. So worship formally, in a formal way, is great, but our life, trusting God, is how God wants us to live. Every day. Trusting Him in simple ways. Just trusting His plan, even though we don't see sometimes where it ends or which direction is going to take us. When we worship God as God directs, the promise is ours. The results will be to trust Him, following His direction. Now, I know sometimes when we pray, we say, you know, if we just pray, anything we pray for, God will give it to us, but I just want to give it a little bit of caution. When we pray, we just need to be open-minded. I use that term, open-minded, in the sense that we need to pray for God's will to be done in a situation. Because I can pray to start walking on this roof, but is that necessary? Right? No. We need to be praying in harmony with God's will and asking for His will to be done. And so, for God wants us all to be in His kingdom. You know, I look forward to the new earth experience, because in the new earth, I'll be able to talk with you guys forever.
Amen.
Every day, forever. Like, you'll see me every day. Every day I'll come up to you and go, how's it going? Every day, forever. I don't know if you're okay with that? Every day, how's it going? Every day. God has a plan for us, my friends. Death, and in our Sabbath school lesson, we talked a couple weeks back about death in this world, and it's really never a part of God's plan for death to be in this plan. Death is a foreigner. It's a strange act. And so anyways, when we work together, we'll have that breakthrough. When we worship and live as God wants us to live, we'll have the breakthroughs that we're looking for. Just walk around it once a day. On the seventh day, seven times. As a community, we come together and shout. And I don't mean shouting, okay? Stay with me here. The concept is basically working together and really giving God the fullness of our attention. in our lives, in whatever aspect of our lives we're struggling with, trust him. He has given us direction. His word has direction for everything that we need to work with. If there's any challenges, there's nothing that is that we're dealing with that God hasn't given us counsel for. Does that make sense? Trust him, and he will give us the victory. We'll have the breakthrough. Do you want a breakthrough in your family? Do you want a breakthrough in your finances? Do you want a breakthrough in your relationship with God? Do you want a breakthrough with anything? Trust God. Seek his word. There's counsel for everything in the word of God, and we're blessed as a church that we have the spirit of prophecy. There's counsel. Trust the promises. Trust God. Just trust him slowly and slowly until eventually you get to where you want to, he'll have you to be, and you'll have the victory. So that's God's plan for us. God, my friend, is still leading today. God is still able to do what he's promised to do. God is still keeping his promises. And I just want to let you know that God loves each one of you that, like Joseph, even though it was meant for evil, it was to bring about good, that you may be saved. And so I just want to leave that with you today. And this last verse, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever.
Amen.
Amen. I think our closing song is number 15, My Maker and My King.
Please all stand.
Once again, we recognize that truly that you're a God that we can trust. You've proven it and shown it, demonstrated it in so many ways. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to live in fear. But Father, help us as we are all on this journey, different parts of the road. I pray, Father, that you strengthen our faith, that we can be the people, courageous people, that will be a blessing to someone and share your truth and your love so that many will know that truly you're a God of love. Thank you, Father, for this day. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.